Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, also known as the Phil Nason Show. It is Wednesday afternoon, February the 27th, 2013. It is actually 6:04 a.m. Wednesday morning here in Corfu, Greece, and it is 11:04 p.m. in Howell, New York, where my next guest is, or my guest for today is. Please welcome SportsKings.com's Pass the Pill, Mr. Andy Flint. Andy, what's up, dude? How are you?
I'm great. I'm just trying to, stay out of the snow here. It's coming down quite hard outside here in New York, so that'll be great in the morning.
Oh, I'm sure. It's raining here, so I'm going to finish this show. The chefs are all here now, finally, so I get some real breakfast. And I'll take enough food for the rest of the day, and I'll come back here and upload the show in the afternoon. But it's all good, you know. And someone asked me the other day why I always say the name, the date of the show, and the time of the show. And I do that for a specific reason, because it's pre-recorded. And you have to do that because, you know, sometimes people get a little silly and do things that are stupid and blog about shows that haven't aired yet. So this way, you know, because this is a copyrighted show, as you know, Andy, and we have to do these things. And that's why, because people ask me all the time, why do you always tell us what time it is and what day it is? Well, that's why. That's why. Anyway, basketball. So much is going on, and this is basically going to be a complete hour of fantasy basketball, because quite frankly, everything that we'll talk about tonight has fantasy implications. Like, for example, Andy, Derek Fisher signed with the Thunder. What in the world?
Yeah, I mean, and actually, this shouldn't really come as much of a surprise as it really has been. I mean, to be honest with everybody, I was kind of surprised when it happened, but we really shouldn't be. You know, Derek Fisher tried to play for the Mavs this season. They let him go. From what I read, it was upon his own request. He had the knee injury. He wanted to spend time with his family. He wanted to go home back to the L.A. area. But as we all know, last year when the Lakers traded Derek Fisher, it was about a year ago to the date because it was the trade deadline. They traded him to Houston, who bought him out, and then he landed in OKC with the Thunder. And he played in all their playoff games. And, you know, he did what you would expect Derek Fisher to do upon signing him or, you know, bringing him into your team, trading for him, whatnot. He's going to give you veteran leadership, obviously, a great influence for a guy like Russell Westbrook, completely different styles. But, you know, his age will reflect well upon Russell Westbrook, his experience. He has 5 championship rings with the Lakers. He wore 37 last year. He was 37 years old. He was reflecting his age. But to see him back in OKC, I think is going to be a great thing. Now, he'll be the third string. He's going to take over for responsibilities what Eric Maynor had before they traded him to Portland last week for the second rounder. He'll be behind Reggie Jackson, kind of an unknown younger guy, unless you're in OKC. The OKC fans are familiar with Reggie by this point, but nice athletic guard in Reggie. And I think Derek Fisher's going to do exactly what you need him to do. He'll be in the game to knock down big shots when he has the chance. And he's going to mold some of these guys and be a great locker room presence more than anything.
Yeah, that's about all he'll do. And I think he wants that 6th ring. That's what I think.
Oh, he does.
He does. He wants to show up Kobe, I think.
I think he just wants to show it to the Lakers in general. If you remember last season, he was slighted big time by them trading him to Houston. So I think, yeah, if he gets a 6th ring before Kobe, it's going to be a big deal to Fisher, a big deal to Kobe too. We know Kobe's ego.
Absolutely. And you have to have a big ego to do what he did, just like Michael Jordan and whatever, and whoever else has done those things. But you mentioned that trade, and we talk about these signings, and the other one, this one baffled me at the timing of the signing. Is the Knicks signing Kenyon Martin to a 10-day contract? Now, I don't know if they've made that official where they've extended it yet or not, but did that surprise you? Not that they signed him, but the timing of the signing.
Well, I mean, the Knicks bigs have been beat up. It's really no secret between Rasheed Wallace and Marcus Camby, and, you know, Amari's still playing a limited role there. I think Kenyon Martin gives you a lot of things. It's, you know, remains to be seen. Mike Woodson, you know, was saying that he's got to go with the guys that know the system, know what they're doing right now. I'm sure Kmart will be extended. He's sure he'll be extended. he in a recent interview to he wanted his the guy interviewing him to put his hand on his chest to feel his heart. You know, crazy. Kenny Martin's always been a little off his meds, but I think what he brings you on the court is good. He's an energy guy, even at his age, and you know, he knows how to play. He's played with some of these guys. He played in Denver, so J.R. Smith, Carmelo Anthony, guys like that. And I think you'll end up seeing Kenyon Martin stay in Nick, I would say, probably for the remainder of the season. They're going to need it. They're beat up there down low, and they just need bodies more than anything. So I think the experience of a guy like Kenyon Martin, who's, you know, he's played in big games. Back with the Nets, he played in big games, and he's been a pretty solid pro over the course of his career.
Yeah, he has, but he hasn't played in a long time either. You know, that's the other thing. But for me, though, it just didn't make sense because – and we're going to segue – this is a perfect segue into the trades that occurred on the 21st, the day after you were here last. And this didn't make sense to me, and I talked about this on Monday's show, and I guess we can talk about it some more, I suppose. We're going to have to. But New York traded Ronnie Brewer to Oklahoma City for a 2014 second-round draft pick and some money. And then they signed Kenyon Martin. And I didn't understand the timing of that because they had talked about signing Kenyon Martin 3 or 4 weeks ago. They've got these two fellas, Marcus Camby and Rasheed Wallace, who are both inactive due to injury and are out indefinitely. Yet they give away their best perimeter defender and sign a guy and leave two guys who probably won't even see any more court time this year on the roster. And that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, the Ronnie Brewer thing was kind of weird, I thought, too. And I understand making room for the body of Kenyon Martin. But, yeah, Ronnie Brewer's defense has been great. I think one of the things is I think they expected more out of Ronnie Brewer than they've gotten from him this season. 3.6 points per game, less than an assist, only a couple rebounds. And yeah, his defense is good, but you know, his offensive efficiency is just been terrible. And I think you know, the Knicks were expecting more, which, and again, I'm not in the locker room to know this. I'm not in the coach's ear, but I feel like this is one of those deals that it was easier to give up Ronnie Brewer based on failed expectations. And I think the Knicks are kind of in love with some of these guys they have on the roster. I don't understand why a guy like maybe a James White. I mean, what's he doing on your roster? So I just don't fully understand it like you. But on the flip side of that, I do like the Kenyon Martin, the pickup of Kenyon Martin. I don't know why. It scares me that other teams hadn't picked up on Kenyon Martin yet. You know, he's been begging teams to pick him up for the longest time. And it feels to me like he's probably pretty out of shape if teams weren't picking him up. So that'll be remains to be seen. But yeah, the Ronnie Brewer thing I think they got a little money out of it in the pick and that. And that was probably about what made it. I don't know what they would have gotten out of anybody else. They probably looked for the Ronnie Brewer deal was probably the best deal they were offered, so they just jumped on it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that trade has no fantasy implications whatsoever.
No.
None. That one is nothing. Unless you're in a team with or a league with 35 teams.
I don't even know if it does then.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And no, Kenyon Martin is not a viable option for your fantasy team.
They'll be picking him up, though.
What's that?
They'll be picking him up. You watch.
Yeah, somebody will. It won't be me. That's for sure. Atlanta. Here's another one. Atlanta traded guard Anthony Morrow to Dallas for guard Dante Jones. Fantasy implications? None, in my opinion. What do you think?
I don't see any fantasy implications here at all. Anthony Morrow, again, another guy who, you know, came to Atlanta and disappointed. I think they expected a lot more out of him. I believe Anthony Morrow is from Atlanta. Yeah, he is from Atlanta. It was his big thing this, you know, he was excited to go to Atlanta, but he hasn't done anything for the Hawks all season. Nahani Jones, nothing out of him either. I don't see this. This is a yawner. Like most of the trades, yawn, yawn, yawn.
Yeah, I understand that, but we have to cover them anyway. I'm yawning too. So, but Anthony Morrow, though, he was with New Jersey last year, right? And he, I thought he was on one of my fantasy teams. I thought he was okay, but he went to the Atlanta graveyard, and that's it. Maybe he can get resurrected in Dallas. Okay, that's fair enough. All right, Golden State trade. That's why I like working with you, because we have to talk very little before the show. Golden State, they traded guard Charles Jenkins and some cash to Philly for a protected second round draft pick, and traded forward Jeremy Tyler to Atlanta for cash and future draft considerations. Fantasy implications? None, in my opinion. You?
No, there's nothing. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Okay, let's continue on. Houston traded forward Marcus Morris to Phoenix for a 2013 second-round draft pick. And then they traded forward Patrick Patterson, center Cole Aldrich, and guard Tony Douglas to Sacramento for forward Thomas Robinson, forward Francisco Garcia, and forward Tyler Honeycutt. Now, this one actually does have some implications, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, they might be slight at first, I guess is the word I'm looking for here. The part where you're really going to look for anything fantasy-wise in this little debacle of a trade that I didn't understand is going to be on the Sacramento end. We hope Patrick Patterson, you know, gets ample opportunity in Sacramento. Or, you know, we hope they don't get blown out by the Heat every time they play, 141-129. But yeah, I don't know. I think Patrick Patterson's kind of going to find himself in a position now where he's in a log jam a little bit, because we know the bodies that Sacramento has. As far as their bigs go, they have Chuck Hayes, and they have Jason Thompson and DeMarcus Cousins, and now Patrick Patterson. And I don't really know how he fits in. What happens oftentimes with these guys when they go to new teams, unless you're a star player or a superstar player, is it's hard for you to get minutes. Now, remember a couple seasons ago when Raymond Felton was with Amari Stoudemire in New York before Carmelo arrived? Raymond Felton was having an excellent year. I want to say he was averaging something like 17 points, 8 assists. And then he gets traded for Carmelo Anthony as a part of that deal. And I remember George Karl, because I was on the Raymond Felton bandwagon big time that season. George Karl saying, you know, they're going to work Raymond Felton in. He's got to get used to the system. Right now, Ty Lawson knows the system. He'll be the starter. And then it never happened for Felton. Felton just got buried, you know, he got stacks of books on him. Ty Lawson exploded as, you know, the point guard leader of that team. And then Felton eventually made his way to Portland, where he ate cheeseburgers until the cheeseburgers were all gone. And then he landed back in New York and, you know, has found his career a little bit again. So I see a guy like Patrick Patterson, he might get lost in the fray here a little bit. And I know people have been picking him up because he's been averaging about 11 to 12 points, 4 to 5 rebounds a game. But again, a guy that doesn't really know the system. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding, 0 points, 2 points. So I know a lot of you guys probably, you know, if you were listening to us on this show, at least you've had Patrick Patterson at one point, or you might even have him now. Probably time to drop Patrick Patterson. There's plenty of viable options out there to replace him.
Absolutely. But I'll tell you this. If you have a keeper league and you're struggling right now, go for Thomas Robinson.
Absolutely.
He was the number 5 pick in the draft. I'm going to tell you something, Andy. This kid in Houston, this general manager, God bless him. He could be the GM of the year, because what did he do? He got James Harden, and now he pulled off this Thomas Robinson trade for and basically gave up nothing to get him. Nothing. But Robinson is the real deal. But when you're in Sacramento and you're stuck there, and that's just a mess there with Cousins and those guys, I'll tell you what.
Daryl Morey's gotten kind of lucky, I think, though.
Okay.
The general manager for the Rockets, because if you look at some of these things that have happened, they you know, traded for all those draft picks to try to trade to Orlando for Dwight Howard. They were trying to, you know, trade down to the top 5. didn't happen for them, so they ended up with these picks. And, you know, they drafted the Jeremy Lamb and Royce White. You know, these guys that aren't working. Jeremy Lamb obviously got traded. They got really lucky with the James Harden thing. I think Daryl Morey, I'm not going to say he's a bad general manager, but at the same time, I'm not quite buying into the hype. I think the James Harden thing landed in their lap. James Harden wanted a bigger role. OKC couldn't afford to pay him all this money. And, you know, Houston got lucky and snagged that. I mean, I feel like, you know, Morey, I'm not going to say he didn't do anything because there was obviously probably other teams out there. But they had that great chip in Kevin Martin and the young guy in Jeremy Lamb to deal and make that deal happen. So I feel like that was more luck than anything. And this Thomas Robinson thing is dumb, stupid, smack yourself in the head, Sacramento. I mean, shame on them. I don't understand. This is a money grab by the Maloofs. That's what this is. They're clearing a couple million off the books in this deal. And that's all that is. And it's really unfortunate because teams shouldn't be trading the number five draft pick for, you know, a plethora of players to who cares. Now, I like Patrick Patterson, but I just don't get the deal. I feel like you don't trade a top five pick this early, you know, in his young career. And it's just unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, Houston on the receiving end, Thomas Robinson could turn out to be a great player. And I mean, Sacramento's going to miss out on that because, you know, they're in the process of moving the team, selling the team, and the Maloofs are trying to cash out in the process.
Yes, they are. But I like this Robinson kid a lot, man. And I think he's going to be okay. And I feel sorry for Tony Douglas because he was getting some playing time in Houston. He was on a young team. He was finally getting a shine. And now he got sent to basketball purgatory, also known as Sacramento. Bad luck for him. All right, moving on. Miami. This is a big trade. Hold your horses, folks. Grab onto your seats, Andy. Be careful now. I know you worked hard today, but try to stay with me on this one. This is going to be a shocker. Get your nitroglycerin ready. They traded Dexter Pittman, a 2013 second-round draft pick and cash considerations to Memphis for the draft rights to forward Ricky Sanchez. Bye-bye, Dexter Pittman, and that has zero fantasy implications now or later, correct?
Boo. Yeah, this might be the worst of them all.
Look at that, but here's the thing. Memphis got another big body, though. Dexter Pittman is you saw him last year, stuff he pulled. Goodness gracious, good riddance, I guess.
Big, sloppy body.
All right, we talked about this before. We already did the Ronnie Brewer thing, so we'll go to Oklahoma City. And we kind of touched on this. Traded guard Eric Maynor to Portland for the rights to forward Yorgos Princius and cash. So here's the deal. Princius isn't going to leave where he's from. So technically, Portland came out pretty good. And so did Oklahoma City because they did a little bit of a salary dump. And they had no room for Eric Maynor anyway. So good trade for them, right? But fantasy implications, maybe Maynor though, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, Eric Maynor wasn't really working out. And you're right, he was making more money than he should have been. And I'm glad you're doing the names here. I wasn't eager to pronounce that. And you're probably right. He's not going anywhere. How often does this happen? I mean, we've seen it time and time again, but yeah, Eric Maynor, I mean, there's a possibility he gets bumped up to being behind, Damian Lillard in Portland, and maybe this helps his career. But yeah, I think it's a good move for the Thunder because they're going to lose some of that money, but you know, overall, it's another one of those trades without much fantasy impact.
Yeah, there's not much reality in that one. Here's the one, though, that could be interesting, and I'll explain it when you get done explaining what you think about it, because this has your team written all over it. Orlando, traded guard J.J. Redick, center Gustavo Ayon, and guard Ish Smith to Milwaukee, to the Rucker Park Street Legends, for guard Doran Lamb, guard Bino Udra, and this sucks, man, these names, and forward Tobias Harris. This has some implications, but I'll let you go first because I was thinking about this the other day. Prepare for us, by the way, because you're sharp and I have to be ready for you.
Yeah, you better be. well, this absolutely has fantasy implications. This is the first one. I'm glad, Phil. It took us a while to get here. Unfortunately, J.J. Redick's 99.3% owned. You're not probably going to get him. But, you know, I expect him to keep doing the same amount of work that he was doing in Orlando, which this season has been J.J.'s breakout season, averaging about 15 and 4 assists. His debut against the Atlanta Hawks, he had 16 points, 7 assists. Not bad for a guy just stepping into the system. And I'm going to go on for my J.J. love a little bit here. He spent his entire career in Orlando, you know, 6 seasons. I've really grown fond of J.J. He was probably my second favorite player left on the Magic besides Jameer Nelson. I hated to see him go. But from a business standpoint, Orlando had to do it. They weren't probably going to resign J.J. Redick in the offseason. And this gives Redick a chance to play in the playoffs, because I think the Bucks are going to hold on to that 8 seed, maybe slip back into the 7 seed, depending on what Boston does. They seem to be on a tear without Rondo. But Redick, I mean, if you happen to be in one of those 0.7% leagues where Redick's available, by all means, go scoop him up. The other end of this, I think, and more importantly, is probably going to be on the Orlando side. And the guy to look at there is Mo Harkless, the rookie drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers, who came over with Nikola Vucevic in the Dwight Howard deal. And Mo Harkless has been putting in work since the All-Star break. His game log is looking something like 10 points, 4 rebounds, 13 points, 5 rebounds, 19 points, 9 rebounds, and his career season high, 20 points, 8 rebounds, 15.6 rebounds. So, small forward, you're going to have to deal with Mo Harkless, maybe not quite shooting a great percentage down the stretch. Although I think right now he's shooting a decent enough percentage. Yeah, his total fixed percentage, which is the free throws, three-pointers, and field goals all in one, is 50%. So not bad, but he's kind of a wild card. He's a very unpolished player. But, yeah, over the last 15 days, averaging about 14 points, 6.5 rebounds, and he's only 14.7% owned. That might be the biggest impact of this whole trade, besides Redick, who you're probably not going to get. So, yeah, I'd go look at Mo Harkless. The other guys, maybe Tobias Harris, who came over too, who got Dwight Howard's number, much to the dismay of a lot of people in Orlando. Got Dwight Howard's number already. He could have an impact too, but the other guys, Gustav Ione, Ishmael Smith, those guys, I wouldn't look for anything out of them.
All right, you know what? And we're going to probably touch on this a little more in depth when we talk about shaping teams, you know, for the playoff run and for keeper leagues next year. But I will say this. If I was in a keeper league, I would go after J.J. Redick, especially if I was in the lower half of the league. I would go after J.J. Redick, and I'll tell you why. Because Monte Ellis and Brandon Jennings, one of those two won't be there next year. Maybe both of them won't. I would assume that it's going to be Ellis now that'll go. That's what I think, because they didn't trade anyone. And when that happens, two things happen. One, J.J. Redick is about to get paid. And two, he's going to go back in the starting role, and if he's playing with Jennings, he's going to get a lot of chances to shoot threes. And this is a kid who's going to light it up. That's what I would do. And Mo Harkless, you're right. We'll talk about that later, because I've got a whole – I think you should draft the whole Orlando team, but I'll explain why in a minute. But in the second segment. But anyway, we have to move on in Phoenix. They wave forward Luke Zeller. Okay, see you later, dude. I don't think we need to comment on that, do we?
I have nothing to say.
Okay. The laugh said it all. Now, yeah. Now here's the other guy we talked about a couple weeks ago. He was in the Rudy Gay trade, and I think you remember we both decided that he wouldn't be there long. Hamed Hadidi and a 2014 second-round draft pick went to Phoenix for guard Sebastian Telfair. This has nothing whatsoever to do with anything other than a salary dump for Toronto, correct?
Yeah, I would say so. I've always kind of liked Sebastian Telfair, but yeah, I don't. I mean, his career really hasn't lived up. I think he came out the same year as Dwight Howard, 2004, and people made a big deal out of him, and it never quite panned out for Sebastian, cousin of Stefan Marbury. But, yeah, I don't think that, you know, he's not going to really make an impact. And you know, this is kind of another one of those where it's a fantasy dry heave.
Yeah, you're right. But this one, this last one won't be. Bear with us, folks. This, we'll be finished with this in a minute, and then we'll get into how to help you shape your team as you head down to the playoffs. Washington traded guard. This didn't make any sense to me at all. Traded guard Jordan Crawford to Boston for center Jason Collins and guard Leandro Barbosa. Now, Andy Barbosa has a torn ACL, and he was going to be a free agent after this year. Jason Collins, he didn't see much time. Jordan Crawford, when he was playing 20 minutes a game, he was averaging 13, 14 points a game. Did this make sense to you?
Well, no, I'm baffled by it. And he didn't play for four games before the trade anyway. But, yeah, he's not going to see those minutes in Boston. His minutes have been kind of all over the place. I think he got 17 in one game, 12 in another, and 5 in the last game. So he's going to be all over. It's going to take a little time. Boston's one of those teams that's really hard to get used to. You go from a very undisciplined Wizards team, and sorry, Wizards fans, I don't mean to bag on the Wizards, but they're not a very disciplined club, never have been. And then you go to quite possibly the most disciplined club in all of basketball, maybe ever, the Boston Celtics, and you have Doc Rivers, who is the equivalent to a drill sergeant over there on the bench. A few things Jordan Crawford's going to have to get used to, one of which is going to be no dumb shots. I think he's a nice player. That's about where I'll leave it with him, a nice player. But I think he can have some impact for the Celtics down the road. I don't know that it'll really be this season, because I just don't know that he'll get the minutes over guys like Courtney Lee and Jason Terry. So, I would look at him to be more of a future role with the Celtics in their building process of the younger players. But, yeah, it was kind of a weird trade to Barbosa. I don't know what Washington wanted with Barbosa. I mean, have him out there on crutches on the bench cheering you on, I guess. Whatever.
Well, they just wanted to get rid of Jordan Crawford.
Yeah.
That's all that was. And maybe they wanted to make the Celtics happy, because it did. Because I think he's going to fit in okay with the Celtics. Maybe not this year, but next year I think he'll be all right. I think Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce are going to stick around for one more year together, I think. Anyway, what we have to do is take a break and pay some bills. And when we return, we're going to answer a listener's, or several listeners' questions regarding putting the final touches on your fantasy team as you head into the playoffs. And if you have a keeper league, what they should do for next year and how to prepare early. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates.
We'll be right back. Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. This week in tennis, is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from The Phil Nasons Show and This Week in Tennis. When I'm looking for sports information, my first stop, as well as yours should be, sports-kings.com. Great information, scores, highlights, and exceptional commentary. You can find it all there at sports-kings.com. Welcome back to the Wednesday, February the 27th, 2013 edition of the Phil Nasons Show. And on the line on Skype with me is sports-kings.com managing editor for Pass the Pill, as well as the Pass the Pill podcast, Mr. Andy Flint. Andy, what's going on? Now, we had, you know, you're privy to these questions because I tried to send them to you in a timely manner, or I tried to anyway. We get so much feedback from our fantasy show together, and I'm thrilled by it, by the way. And I get asked now hundreds of questions a day about what they should do with their teams, and I try to tell them to listen to the show. I'm trying to be polite, but I'm also working hard at my show. But the main questions that we get asked now are the playoffs are coming now. It'll be in week, I guess, what, 22 and 23? Wait, 22 and 24. From 22 to 24 and ESPN, I think. Anyway, it's playoff time, and the top four teams in each league advance. What is realistic for you to think that a team could make the playoffs? If, for example, let's say now my teams are all going to be in there because I have four of them. Two are in second, two are in third. So I'm sure I'm going to
keep bragging.
What's that?
Keep bragging.
I'm having fun with it because I'm really kicking ass, and you know that. See, but people are proud of me though when they see that because I really raked. Now, don't forget, my third team was in seventh place in the fifth week of the season. So, needless to say, I started taking my own advice and yours, and I started doing some different things. But what do you say? What do we say to the person who is in the league and it's not a keeper league and he's in sixth or seventh place and he probably doesn't have much hope of making the playoffs? What do you say to him or her?
Oh, I mean, and this is the hardest thing sometimes, especially if you're not in a keeper league because, you know, you're not playing for next season. Guys in keeper leagues, typically this part of the year, and this depends too. Not all leagues are going to be four teams in the playoffs. I know generally the leagues I play in are six, but we have 12 teams, so we do half the league. And generally we start week 21. But, yeah, I would say anywhere between week 20 to week 24, 25 are the playoff weeks. You know, four to sometimes eight teams, people get crazy. It depends. I've played in 14 team leagues before, but yeah, it's tough when you're not playing for the future. You're not playing for next season because your league's done at the end of this year. And then it's a new draft next season. So for the guy in, you know, let's say you're in fifth place in a four team league, or you're in seventh place in a 16 league, and you know, it's slim to none. You're down, you know, six or seven, and you need to get back into it. Now is the time that if you're holding on to any of these hurt guys, which I hope you're not anymore, if you're trying to get in the playoffs, you're holding on to the Kevin Loves and the Derrick Rose, get rid of these guys. Don't think about the fact that another team in the playoffs might be able to pick them up in a few weeks. Because Kevin Love said he's looking to play the last 15 or 20 games of the season. And that's straight fantasy goodness there, because he's not going to help the Timberwolves lock a playoff spot. They're the last in their division. So don't worry about what it's going to do for another team. I think people get caught up so much when trading, when dropping players, what it could do for the other team. Worry about what it's doing for you. So if you have these types of players that are injured and you're holding on to the Bynums, the Kevin Loves, the Derrick Roses of the world, drop these guys, get them off of your roster immediately. I have a handful of guys you can pick up. And all it really takes is 5 minutes of your time to research. 10 minutes of your time is even better. Research it, pick up some guys. You need players that are playing that are going to be in your roster night in and night out. And don't be ashamed to be the guy who's adding and dropping guys every other day to make your week. Some leagues might have restrictions on how many guys you can pick up per week, but play within your rules and make your team better. Give yourself a chance. I mean, there's no need to give up. And nobody likes playing in the league with the guy who gives up, you know, the last few weeks down the stretch and gives away weeks. So keep fighting, man. I mean, it's fantasy. You never know. You might pull off the 9-0 upset next week and boost your chances, jump right in there. It's never give up. Keep fighting until the ship goes down.
That's exactly right. And you know what? That's good advice because let's say, for example, you have Andrew Bynum. Now, he's probably – who cares? If you've listened to Doug Collins in Philadelphia, you know that he's not too thrilled for what he's seeing. So you can probably imagine that you're not going to see much of Bynum. He's not going to make that much of an impact. But I'll tell you somebody who would, and that's Emeka Okafor from Washington. He's 77% owned. That means you got a shot to get him. He's a good one instead of this other guy. I'll tell you another guy. This is a scary one, but he's going to get you more than the nothing you had with Andrew Bynum. Is Jermaine O'Neal. He's 5% owned, but at least he's going to score some points for you, and he's going to get some rebounds for you. Another guy, another center, Samuel Dellenbach from Milwaukee. Another guy. He's 25% owned, and he's going to do some nice little things. Another fellow who might be able to help you is Robin Lopez, because you need someone who's going to help you. Jonas Valanciunas. Oh, these names today, Andy. You're just laughing. You're just glad.
You're the one that lives overseas. You got to know this stuff, Phil.
I know, but it's freaking 6:30 in the morning. Anyway, Jonas Valanciunas from Toronto is another guy. He's 14% owned, but here's the catch. He's going to put some numbers on the board for you where you had none. DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers is another guy. He's 48% owned. Can you think of any other centers?
Yeah, I have two, and they can play center or power forward. That's Jason Thompson of the Sacramento Kings. Jason Thompson, over the last 15 days, is averaging upwards of 14 points a game and about 8.5 rebounds. Jump on him. He's getting 31 minutes a game, guys. Another one getting almost 34 minutes a game is Byron Mullins. And, you know, he put together a couple of bad games in a row, but before that he was like 10 games in a row in double figures. And over the last 15 days, Byron's averaging 14 points, 8 rebounds. Those are the only two I have that can play center. But, yeah, get those guys because at the end of the day, no points or some points, 5 points, 6 points, 10 points, 15 points, it's all better than what a guy like Andrew Bynum's giving you, which is a goose egg. Give yourself a chance.
That's exactly right. Tiago Splitter's another one. But you bring up Byron Mullins, and it's interesting that you do because – I picked him up last week in just every league that I could find. Because when I pick up someone in one league, I try to find him straight across the board. Because it just makes things easier to do, you know.
Yeah, me too. That's usually a foolproof strategy there. And Byron's about 78.6% owned, and Thompson's 46.9% owned. So not the usual. You know, guys, a lot of times we're giving you guys that are 15% owned and 10% owned, but these guys are available. I mean, so don't think just because he's 78% owned that he's not available in your league. He might be available in your league, and especially if you play in an online league with random people who tend to not pay as much attention to their leagues, go look for these guys. You're going to find something.
Yeah, absolutely. But Mullins, I pick him up, right? And I let go of Thompson to do that.
Oh, yeah,
and he laid a couple eggs, but it looked like from before we started the show he was doing okay tonight. He had already had like 6 or 7 points in the first 3 minutes of the game, so that looked pretty promising. But this is this thing too that you have to do, and I'm in a position where I don't have to gamble, but I am anyway because I'm still being aggressive. But if you're in fifth or sixth place, that doesn't mean you're out. You still got a couple weeks to go, and you have a shot. The other one, the question I got, and I forgot to tell you about this, but it doesn't matter because you'll already know the answer probably. You'll do the same thing I did. Well, let's see if we answered it the same way. What would you do with Wesley Matthews right now?
That's a tough one. I think if I'm going to tell you to drop, you know, a guy like Andrew Bynum or your Derrick Rose or, you know, a Kevin Love, I think you've got to say you've almost got to just give yourself the chance and do the same thing. So with a Wesley Matthews, I mean, he's sporadic, and the points he's going to give you is it's always going to be better than nothing. But when you got a guy who's, you know, he's averaging what, 15 points a game, a couple assists, a couple rebounds, but he missed a couple games and then he was back and, you know, he was on fire. I think he 15 points one game and 24 points the other game. It's one of those dog eat dog kind of things, because Wesley Matthews is, unfortunately, is like the fourth option on a Portland Trail Blazer team, behind guys like Damian Lillard, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum. But yeah, I think he's a guy you ride the wave for. The last two games where he scored big points, he's had 36 minutes and 38 minutes. So, you know, he's, if you can grab him, I didn't have him on my map, so I'm not exactly sure what he was owned. I don't know if you have that, Phil.
Who's that, Wesley Matthews?
Yeah.
100%.
Is 100% owned. So.
Well, not anymore, because I dropped him in one of my teams.
So you've dropped that. So, I mean, I think you got to keep him. I mean, his note's only a day-to-day. I didn't even realize he was 100% owned. And that's another one of those things that's kind of shocking to me. I can give you plenty of guys averaging numbers that he's averaging that aren't nearly 100% owned. But, yeah, I mean, chances are, if you're listening to this show, you have Wesley Matthews, or somebody else in your league does, because he's 100% owned, or 99.9999999 now that Phil's dropped him. Yeah, after missing a couple of games, he's responded well, and I feel like, you know, it's the ankle thing, and it's probably going to be, you know, hindering him. Just monitor a guy like Wesley Matthews, and I think with a guy like Wesley Matthews, you can't be afraid to drop him. I don't care. So don't look at the percentage that he's owned when you're thinking about adding or dropping a guy. Look at the production. So don't say I can't drop Wesley Matthews if he's missing games, because he's 100% owned. Drop him. I mean, if somebody else is going to give you a better chance to win that week or for the next 2 weeks or even for two games, pick that player up.
Absolutely. In fact, I took Isaiah Thomas over.
Oh, gosh.
That's, but I needed another guard, and I
don't. I'm not disagreeing. I picked him up a couple weeks ago, and he's just been phenomenal.
Yeah, I got really lucky, I think. That's probably what it all is. I'll tell you somebody who's jumped up in the rankings, and he is in hot demand right now, is Jeff Green from Boston. He went from 31% owned to 78% owned. Of course, he's had some pretty good games. The other guy that's jumped off the chart is Gordon Hayward from Utah. Y'all didn't listen to us, and he should have, because when he came back from injury, he just tore the roof off the place, hasn't he?
Yeah, and back to Isaiah Thomas real fast. He was another guy we were telling everyone a few weeks ago, I think, you know, for two or three or four weeks to pick up Isaiah Thomas, and now you probably can't because he's like 96.5% owned. But, yeah, I mean, Gordon Hayward, I don't have him in my ESPN league, but I do have him in a Yahoo league, and, you know, I just held on to him. And that's the thing. Sometimes you have the luxury. In the league I have Gordon Hayward, I was sitting in, like, second or third place, so I was able to just hold him and kind of take the hit. And that's the biggest thing, is to play it by ear. But as far as guards go, I do have a few more for you. Vince Carter, 75% owned. So you might not be able to get him, but if you can, he's averaging 18 points per game, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and 4 three-pointers made, ladies and gentlemen, over the last 15 days. I mean, he's putting up like 26 points, 22 points. go out and get yourself some Vince Carter. Deion Waiters is another one, 86% owned, but if you can slide into getting him, he's putting up 17 points per game. He's put back-to-back games of 26 and 25 points. Andre Miller, I feel like I've said his name every single week. I'm just going to keep saying it, all reliable. I mean, he's going to get you something like 9-5, 9-6. That's reliable. C.J. Watson from the Nets is another one. He's been putting up some decent minutes behind Deron Williams. Luke Ridnour, I think, Phil, you've beat that drum about 1,000 times. He's still sitting at 57% owned. Gerald Henderson's 45% owned. He's going to get you about 16 points and 5 rebounds over the last 15 days. So they're out there, guys. I mean, there's plenty of players.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, that you want to think about is this. You want to think, this is going to take a little extra time. RotoWire.com does a great job with this. They do provide the statistics for me for what I use for the Phil Nason Show. They're the official statistics guys for us. But here's the thing. You want to look and see how many games they have remaining, these players, too. You look at like a Steph Curry, for example. I'm in heaven because he has a lot of games coming up in a row. You know, and look at this. For weeks 21 through 23, there are 8 teams that have 12 games. The Hawks, Celtics, Grizzlies, Timberwolves, Knicks, Trailblazers, Jazz, and the Wizards. And then there's another side to this. Golden State and the Lakers only play 9 games during those 2 remaining weeks to get into that's the playoff round, 21 to 23. Yeah. So if you think you're headed to the playoffs, then you want to make sure you find a couple guys that play for the Hawks or the Celtics or the Grizzlies or the Wolves or the Knicks. Alexi Shved would be a good guy. Yeah, Kevin Love. Now, this is the thing, too. Kevin Love is still 63% owned. He's only 63% owned.
Yeah, people aren't going to let go of that. That's like the first girl you ever dated let you go to first base, and you always remember her name. It's one of those. And I was an owner of Kevin Love in 2 leagues, and I've since dropped him in both. But people are going to fall in love and hold on to that. And another thing to touch on what Phil was saying real quick was the comparison. Look, sometimes if you have 2 guys that are comparable when you're looking to pick somebody up, you know, they play, you have 2 shooting guards, say you're looking at Vince Carter and Deion Waiters. Numbers are pretty similar. When you're going to pick those guys up, if you're midweek especially, make sure they're going to play and help you the rest of the week. So if it's Thursday and Vince Carter has, you know, 1 game or none and Deion Waiters has 2, pick up Deion Waiters and then figure it out after that weekend. Get yourself the guy, you know, you're going to have to take a calculated risk on whether or not the other guy might get picked up before the next week. Play the guy who's going to help you the most at that moment. If you're coming into the last week of the season, you know, week 20 or week 21 or week 22, whatever it may be for you, and you're looking at 2 guys and you have one that plays 4 games, because that's generally the maximum a player will play in 1 week is 4 times. If you get a guy who's playing 4 games and a guy who's playing 2 games, take the guy who's going to play 4 games. If the numbers are that close, don't sell yourself short on these players.
Yeah, don't be afraid to do that, because here's the thing. You can pick them up the next week again by Wednesday, if you're clever, because in these, especially these leagues where they're anonymous and no one knows each other, leagues that I play in, sometimes people don't pay attention, and that's a nice thing. But I'll tell you the other thing too that you want to kind of consider is good playoff bound teams that already wrapped things up. For example, the San Antonio Spurs. If you have someone like Tim Duncan on your team, or Manu Ginobili, or Tony Parker, you might want to try to look for a guy like Kawhi Leonard, because you can bet the rent that Popovich isn't going to be playing them much, them being the big 3. And a guy like Leonard is going to score in bunches, because he's that type of scorer, and he'd been hurt for the better half of at least half the season. So he's a guy. Tiago Splitter is a guy who would be able to excel during those 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of the season, because he's going to see a lot of court time, because Popovich is going to be resting his boys and getting them ready for the playoffs. So that's another guy that you might want to look at. Now, here's the thing, too, and you can disagree with me if you like, that's fine, But if I'm set in the playoffs, completely set, and I know that I'm in, and I've got a little bit of dead weight on my team, I would go for Andrew Bynum, especially if I needed some rebounds. Because if he plays, he's going to rebound. There's no doubt about that. And if he does, you're going to be okay. Another guy that you might want to try to pick up for rebounds is Bismack Biyombo. Reggie Evans is another guy. If you're looking for assists, Andre Miller. These guys are hardly owned at all. Earl Watson, if you have a big league. You've got Grievous, Vasquez, Jeff Teague, O'Gorin, Dragic, if you want to make a trade. Steals, Avery Bradley. He's not owned that much. Jordan Crawford, Jason Kidd, Meta World Peace. These are good guys if you need these extra little helpers. Tobias Harris for blocks, Elton Brand, three-pointers, Carlos Delfina or Delfino. I'm terrible with these names, say Andy. Patrick Patterson, Marcus Morris. Tony Douglas is a guy who can shoot some threes. Thomas Robinson, even though we said he's not worth much, he is helpful. And a field goal percentage. Cephalosha from the Thunder. I didn't want to try to get his first name. Yeah, there you go. And Tiago Splitter, Jeff Green, Chauncey Billups. These guys all have high field goal percentages.
Yeah, Andre Miller and C.J. Watson are shooting very high percentages, especially for guards. And Vince Carter is another one who was on a tear with the percentage. But yeah, when you were saying, Phil, about if you're locked, if you're pretty much guaranteed a top three or four spot right now, yeah, don't be afraid to pick up those guys like Kevin Love and Derrick Rose, especially because I have a feeling they're coming back. Mainly Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love will definitely be back. Just to kind of bruise up some fantasy, because like I said, they have no shot at making the playoffs in Minnesota. But Kevin Love's going to come back. He's going to, you know, have the green light. I think Kevin Love, if I had to pick one between him, Bynum, and Rose, would be the guy who I would have the highest expectations for. Just the hand with him. He battled it early on this season, re-injured it, refractured it again, broke it. But I think he's more ready than Derrick Rose or Bynum. Say if all three of them came back next week, I would bank more on Kevin Love. But if you got room for all three of them, go ahead. I mean, you know, don't listen to that. Don't go dropping three guys, but you can get away with one or two. There's likely somebody at the end of your bench that's worth dropping to pick up a guy who could, you know, score you 25 points a game in the playoffs.
Absolutely. Great stuff tonight, Andy. Thank you so much for being on the show with me. We'll see you next week.
Absolutely, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. That was Andy Flint from sports-kings.com, and you can check them out over at Pass the Pill. Just go over to sports-kings.com and click the tab that says NBA, and you'll have them all set. Tomorrow night, Jamie and Smith will be here. We're going to bust out a brand new segment called Facebook Foolishness. And boy, you have no idea. You think the other little skits we do are funny? You ain't seen nothing yet. And on Friday, we'll be doing baseball. I want to take the time to thank all of you for listening and subscribing on iTunes. I'm amazed by how much we get and how much you listen. Thank you so much for your positive feedback. Thank you so much for your feedback. Until tomorrow night, you all take care of yourselves. And most importantly, thanks for listening. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.